Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
It's time.
It's time.
Time to get in the zone.
Time to get in the zone.
With the 49ers Web Zone.
This is the No Huddle Podcast.
With Al and Brian.
I'm Al Sacco. He's Brian Reddick. This is the 49ers Web Zone. No Huddle Podcast. Part of the Odyssey Network. Find us where you get your podcasts, or you could find us on YouTube. And if you're watching this right now, you're watching it live. It's me and it's Brian. Doesn't get much better than that. But Brian and I are doing something we've never done before on the show ever. Usually what we do around draft time is usually the show or two before the draft. We prepare our mock drafts. Maybe we'll have a guest on with us or whatever. And then we go through our picks. We're probably still going to do that close to the draft. But today we're going to do something a little bit different where Brian and I are actually going to do a live draft. We pulled up, this is Pro Football Focus, Brian, right? That you pulled up on here. Yep. And we're going to go through and we're just going to do a live draft and we're going to see who's available. And Brian and I are going to argue about who we want to take. And then we'll see what happens. You know, what's interesting, Brian, about these two is we put all this prep into this and obviously teams do, which they're livelihood, right? Niners are going to make 10 picks. If three of them are good, you're happy. That's right. what an inexact science this is. And the draft is so crazy. So we put all this thought into it. We're going to take 10 guys. You know, the Niners, you know, barring any trades, will take about 10. And at the end of the day, probably seven of them won't work out. You'd be like, that was a good draft. But we're going to see how good we can do here. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, we put our GM hats on. We're in the draft room. We're going to pound the table for our guys, or at least our positions. And we'll see where we go. So, again, the settings. So this is the Pro Football Focus mock draft machine. I have set the there are some sliders before you get into the draft. The first one being public board versus the PFF board. And I've set it all the way to publics, mainly because PFF obviously has their own bias, their own experts, you know, their own draft grades, things like that, and their own draft rankings. And so the public board is more just kind of an amalgamation of everybody. And so I feel like it gives us a little better, snapshot of where players are likely to go rather than where PFF thinks that they should go. We are picking 31st. It's up to you, Al. We could figure it out if, you know, we could try and initiate some trades, or we can just work through. And if there are trades available, which will always be trades always back, happen. Right? If we're not initiating them, then we can talk about that as well. But let's go ahead and
through. Maybe we just let's run through and just see what happens.
All right, let's do it. The draft is starting. Caleb Williams taking number one. Shocking.
Big shock. And you know, I think where my hat is, and I don't want to predetermine things because I'm very a BPA guy. I'm best player available right now for this team. Yeah. I think they have a lot of needs, but saw a stat today where the Niners had three people on their offensive line who have a pressure percentage of over 20%, which is high. Left guard, high. Right guard, and right tackle. Those were the three positions, I should say. Left guard was 20%, right guard was 23%, right tackle was 26%. And put that in perspective, Trent Williams was only 12%. So that kind of tells you where the needs are right there at that. So for offensive line, are we up right now?
Yeah, so we are. Our pick is up, pick 31. And here's the thing. So here's where it already gets...
Something funky already happened.
It's a little wild. Jerry Newton, the defensive tackle from Illinois, is available at 31. I don't think that's a realistic possibility. But another guy that I think could be a realistic possibility is Jackson Powers Johnson, the center from Oregon, is still available. Tyler Newbin, the safety from Minnesota, Peyton Wilson, linebacker from North Carolina State, Tyler Guyton, a guy that gets kind of attached to the 49ers a lot in the process so far. Zach Frazier, another center from West Virginia, Ladd McConkey, the wide receiver from Georgia, TJ Tampa, and Mike Sanristil, the two cornerbacks, Mike from Michigan and Tampa from Iowa State. So again, if this were to fall this way and Jerry Newton was available at 31, I think John Lynch would sprint to the podium to draft Jerry Newton, because he is arguably the best interior defensive prospect in this draft. And we know that the 49ers love themselves some interior defensive linemen. But like I said, that feels a little unrealistic. So let's go ahead. Let's say he's not there. Okay. Cause like,
yeah, there's no way he's getting 31.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think there's any chance whatsoever. So to me, it's really, a choice, because, Kool-Aid McKinstry went number 29, to the Detroit Lions. And that would be, somebody who, if he fell, I think the 49ers would possibly take him. But
Graham Barton's gone too, right?
Yeah. Graham Barton in this scenario actually went 16 to the Seahawks.
Wow.
But okay. So Darius Robinson and Chop Robinson, both the Robinson brothers, they're not brothers, but the DNs, Chop Robinson from Penn State and Darius Robinson from Missouri, are also both gone in this scenario. So to me, it's really a matter of Jaxon Powers-Johnson, Zach Frazier, and Tyler Guyton. And for me, I still think that, you know, we talked about it last episode. I think center is a sneaky need for this team.
I think it's a gigantic need for the team.
You know, it's hard to think that Kyle Shanahan would go center in the first round, but it's pick 31. Let's be perfectly honest. It's a glorified second pick, right? And so if I'm John Lynch, and these three players are available, Guyton, Jaxon Powers-Johnson, and Zach Frazier, I am going Jaxon Powers-Johnson, the center out of Oregon. How about you?
I'm going to agree with you. And I've been talking about this for a while Jake Brendel is serviceable. Jake Brendel is also 33 years old.
Yeah.
And even if you think that, you know, we can get away with him this year, you know, football players fall off at a certain point in their 30s. So even if you're a big Jake Brendel guy, you have to think, all right, they have to start planning ahead. They have a 33-year-old center. I just think this guy slides in right away. I think he's the type of player that can come in and be your center for years to come. And again, you're building around Brock Purdy.
Yes.
I saw things today. Mike Silverhead said something about, I think Stats put it up, actually. He had talked
to Silver. Yeah, it was Stats.
We're probably going to have Silver on soon, too. We'll talk to him about it. But that, you know, Kyle wants to play, hey, Brock.
Yeah.
So support him. Build up the middle. And I think we talked about Kyle with Alex Max and Alex Mack and making a big move to get Weston Richburg when Shanahan first came in here. I think Jaxon Powers-Johnson is the pick here, and the Niners have their center of the future.
So before we draft him, though, I do want to say the New England Patriots are willing to trade pick 34, and then we would, you know, quibble over other things to come up to 31. With Jaxon Powers-Johnson on the board, are you willing to trade back, or do you feel like that is too valuable and it's just take the player and benefit and profit?
I think I'm going to take him.
I agree. I don't think he'll be available at 31. So the fact that he is, I think is too good to pass up. So with pick 31, the 49ers draft Jaxon Powers-Johnson, center from Oregon.
And interior guys do drop sometimes. So I guess if
they do,
there's somebody that you could maybe see, oh, I'd expect him to be there, it would be someone like Powers-Johnson. So
I just saw Xavier Leggett go off the board.
Oh, he did already?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. Because you know I really liked him, but I don't think he's going to be there at the end of the second round either.
I agree. All right. So something interesting here. Something interesting here. So we are on the board at pick 63. And here who is available. Jatavion Sanders, the tight end out of Texas. Okay. Keon Coleman, wide receiver out of Florida State. Chris Jenkins, the defensive tackle out of Michigan. Jaden Hicks, safety out of Washington State. And a guy that I absolutely love, Christian Haynes, a guard out of UConn. But they just took Jaxon Powers-Johnson in the first round. I am hard-pressed to think that this team would ever go interior offensive lineman back to back with a first round pick and a second round pick. But do you see who else is on the board here, Al? At Jalen McMillan, the wide receiver out of Washington, Rome Odunze's running mate at Washington. Jalen McMillan had quite the season at Washington. Again, he was, he was the running mate of Rome Odunze. He was a four-star recruit out of high school. He's 6'1", 192. So he's not the biggest guy, right? I would argue that's about where Brandon Ayuk is. You'd actually hope he would get a little bit heavier. But, you know, it was Rome Odunze, Jalen McMillan, Jalen Polk. We talked about wide receiver being, being a need for this team. But one of the cons listed here by PFF is that he doesn't have an NFL top gear to be a consistent vertical threat. And that's one of the things that we talked about when it comes to, when it comes to who the 49ers could be targeting. If we look at the board, instead of it just, again, by rank, right, overall rank, if we go and we look at the wide receivers that are currently available at pick 63, you've got Keon Coleman from Florida State and Jalen McMillan from Washington. You've also got Javon Baker from UCF, wide receiver from UCF. Right. He is a player the 49ers have a top 30 visit with. Nicholas McGee, who covers the 49ers for A to Z Sports, put out an article the other day on Twitter that I read, and it was really good. And it was looking at the top 30 visits that the 49ers have scheduled with the wide receiver so far. And again, we talked about there are 10 top 30 visits that are known right now. Three of them were wide receivers. Those wide receivers were Malachi Corley, the wide receiver out of Western Kentucky, Javon Baker, the wide receiver from UCF. And then the last one was Brendan Rice. That last name should sound familiar. That is the son of 49ers Hall of Famer, one Jerry Rice.
Which would just be a GOAT. Phenomenal story if that happened.
That would be a cool story. He's on the board here. Both Malachi Corley and Brendan Rice are both still on the board.
If he was on the board, if Brendan Rice was there at the end of the third round and we were talking about this, I would say we hadn't taken a receiver yet, but I don't think I would take him here. But I do think, Brian, we've been talking about this as well. Juwan Jennings is not signed past this year. Debo, this could be his last season. And even if not, he's pushing 30 years old. Let's assume Ayuk is on the team. But again, you're about to commit big money to this quarterback. How are you going to support him? And you need another wide receiver. And to me, the second round in this wide receiver heavy class is a perfect spot for it. So I'm good with taking one here. I did a mock draft recently where Leggett had dropped and I jumped all over him.
Yeah.
And I think this is a perfect spot for a wide receiver. Who do you want to take?
So if we look at a couple other areas that we've talked about, right? Edge and interior defensive linemen. At the edge, Braylon Trice, the edge out of Washington, who in 2023 had a pass rush grade of 90.8 on PFF and a pass rush win rate of 17.6%. He is he's a big edge, right? He's 6'4", 274. So he'd be more in line with, you could almost argue like how they employed Eric Armstead early in his career, right? Like that big end, not the speed end opposite Nick Bosa. And that's where I feel like maybe not that's not a useful position, but I feel like big end is not necessarily a position that you have to attack early. I think there are guys that kind of fit that profile, but he was a standout player at Washington. And it does say again, in the review on PFF, it does say that you might have to align him a bit wider to unlock his disruption potential. That's exactly what the 49ers do with the wide nine. His pros are that he loves the physicality part of playing in the trenches. His hands are fast and violent. His first step in explosiveness is adequate for the NFL. When he goes all out speed to power, he can really move people, and his mentality is relentless. But he does have arm length concerns. And a good amount of his success comes from a wider alignment to mitigate the need to get up and around the arc. So he's not a speed guy, right? And to me, again, if we're in the second round, I'm looking for a guy that I know can come in and get after the quarterback. And I don't know
for the quarterback.
Yeah. And yeah. I don't know that Braylon Trice would. The other guy that I would consider again is the Chris Jenkins, the interior defensive lineman from Michigan, run defense grade of 82.3. And I mean, you look at his PFF grades, and again, PFF isn't everything, but we're using the PFF mock draft simulator. So that's kind of what we're going with. And in his three seasons at Michigan, he has a PFF grade of 72.4, 80.7, and 82.7. So a consistent player, 6'3", 305, one of the strongest players in the entire draft class, but very similar to Braylon Trice, does have arm length limitations. And doesn't necessarily have a pass rush profile, but he's a tremendous, tremendous run stopper. So
which is what they need,
right?
And again, you say, well, you have Hargrave, you have Collins. Collins is 29, 1 year mm-hmm. deal. He's optioned on the second year with no guaranteed money. Javon Hargrave in his early 30s. This is a position they need.
Yeah.
I want a wide receiver. knowing the 49ers, I'm taking Jenkins here.
You're going to take Jenkins. I think that as well. The other thing is with a deep wide receiver class, I do think that you can still wait till round three get a relatively impact player. I think if you're waiting till round three for, you know, an interior defensive lineman, outside of Chris Jenkins, you've got Brandon Dorlus and Tavondre Sweat. I don't think Tavondre Sweat is a 49er. He's a massive human being. He is 6'4", 362 pounds. He's not, you know, the 49ers don't employ a 3-4. He's a 3-4 nose tackle. Like that's what he's made to be. Yeah, the 49ers don't employ that. So, you know, and then once you get past them, you've got guys like Michael Hall Jr., Dwayne Carter, Leonard Taylor. But I think Chris Jenkins is such a tier above those guys that if he's available, to me, that is the pick just because of the value that you get at interior defensive linemen and just the fact that, you know, they don't really have anybody with Hargrave, probably only 1 year left on his deal and, and Collins. So I agree with you. I think I'm going Chris Jenkins, defensive lineman from Michigan, as the 49ers second round pick. And now we are on to round three, or as we like to think of it, the Kyle Shanahan running back round.
Blake Corum, here we come. You know, all what right. I was thinking too, you know, Keon Coleman was the highest rated receiver there. And again, for what the Niners, I think they need. Coleman runs a 4.61. So while his game speed may be faster, he's not
right.
To me, he doesn't have the speed that I'm going to jump on him there. So I felt like Jenkins was the better pick for what they need. And maybe a better long-term, you know, impact type player than what I was looking at receiver wise. So
we are now at pick 94, the 49ers are on the clock.
This is too.
There are trades available, but
yeah, but you know what I'm going to say here,
but the highest rated receiver left on the board. We talked about him earlier, Brendan Rice, wide receiver out of USC. This is a mock draft simulation. This is a perfect scenario for the 49ers. In my opinion, this is perfect scenario,
and they need a wide receiver. To me, they have to come out of this draft with maybe even two. And if you're taking them really late, again, what I know, it's a deep draft, you can get guys, but I really want them to get one within the first three rounds. So we haven't taken one. I love what we did at center, just because that's where my head's been. Chris Jenkins, I think, was too good to pass up because you need that run defender. And now I want to let's look at what other receivers are there, Brian. But
yeah, you know. So the other receivers that are on the board is a guy that I really like as well. Malik Washington is still available, the wide receiver out of Virginia. But like I said, Brendan Rice is the highest rated wide receiver still left on the board. The only receiver left in the top 100. Excuse me. You've also got Jacob Cowing out of Arizona, Anaya Smith out of Texas A&M. Another 49er legacy name, and a guy that I think could end up on the 49ers, but not in the third round, Luke McCaffrey, Christian's youngest brother, out of Rice. But to me, like I said, I just don't feel like in this scenario, it couldn't fall better than to be able to, at pick 94, bring in a legacy name like Brendan Rice. Now, is this a place where you bring this guy in and there are just unrealistic expectations that this kid can never live up to? That's one of the things that I might feel like could be a concern for me when thinking about it. But the 49ers have him coming in on a top 30 visit. Obviously, they've scouted him.
Yeah.
Obviously, they like him. You know, they're not going to waste a top 30 visit on a guy just because of his name, right? So it's definitely a player that they have at least, you know, put time in and scouted and like. So to me, I don't think you go anywhere other than Brendan Rice here.
All I want to know is, are they going to let him wear number 80? His dad going to retire number 4? That's all I want to know, because we're taking him. And yeah. What number is he going to wear? So Brendan Rice, and we've addressed center, defensive tackle, and wide receiver, and I'm pretty excited about it.
Three big.
That we've hit those positions. There is a major position that I actually, with the mock I did, I didn't hit. We haven't hit it either, which is tackle. But let's see where this draft takes us.
Well,
but
we are about.
Again, I think.
Yep, we're on the clock.
Of the future.
We're at pick 124. This is the Trey Lance pick. This is the pick they got from the Cowboys for Trey Lance. And currently, like you said, we haven't hit tackle yet. So let's take a look at who's left on the board. So Christian Jones, tackle out of Texas. Satao Lemea, tackle out of Utah. Isaiah Adams, tackle out of Illinois. Javon Foster, tackle out of Missouri. Walter Rouse, tackle out of Oklahoma. Ladarius Henderson. I don't necessarily know that there are guys here that are, you know,
Running the card up.
But you look at Christian Jones, tackle out of Texas, 6'6", 321. You know, you look at his PFF grades, his pass block grade and his run block grade are pretty similar. 75.2 run block grade, 78.1 pass block grade. His zone grade, right? So zone blocking, his zone grade is 82.6, which is really fits with what the 49ers like to do. He has the size to be a tackle of the future. This is a fourth round pick. This is the same round that they drafted Spencer Burford, who mm-hmm. played tackle at UTSA, that they, you know, picked to play guard. Again, anytime you're in the fourth round with a position like tackle, you're looking at players that are going to have holes in their game. And these aren't going to be guys necessarily that you pick that come in right away and start. But I also don't necessarily think that this team thinks that they need a tackle to come in and start day one. Right. So
no, I think Kyle's content with, if he has to run it back for a year, I think he's okay with that with everybody. If he has to, I think. What about we need corners. I mean, we need a corner. So what's available at corner right now?
So two guys, one that I think is a nickel only, and that's and a guy that the 49ers have met with, and that's Chow Smith-Wade, the cornerback out of Washington State, and then Cam Hart, the cornerback out of Notre Dame. Cam Hart is an outside corner. He's 6'2", 207, so he's got length. You know, he's a bigger guy, so he doesn't have quite the fluidity that you see in smaller guys. Mm-hmm. You know, his analysis, again, in PFF, fantastic length and size to hold up against press coverage and affect the catch point. Brings a willingness to support and run defense, which is important in this defense. Mm-hmm. He's a competitive player, good feel for spacing and off coverage from zone. His long speed is a concern, which makes press coverage projection tricky, right? When receivers get even with him, they create separation. So he's not, you know, he can't stay with some of the speedier wide receivers. His acceleration is more buildup than it is twitchy. And his start-stop ability is just okay, given his size. So, you know, the cornerback, we've talked about the cornerback position a few episodes ago, and we talked about how, you know, they brought in Isaac Yiadom, right? And I think the reason that they brought Isaac Yiadom in is to say, listen, we don't know how the draft is going to fall. If there's a guy that we think can play nickel and we like the guy, we'll take him. And then we'll keep Diamador Lenore outside and we'll try this rookie in at nickel. or if there's an outside guy that we like, we can draft an outside guy and we can push D'Amador Lenore inside. Or if there's not guys that we like that we think can come in and start day one, then we have the flexibility to say, hey, we're going to give Yotam the first shot at the outside position and have Lenore in at nickel. So, you know, again, that's Cam Hart. That would be an outside corner. Again, Chow Smith Wade, 5'11", 176, small guy, right? Nickel corner only, not an outside guy. A guy that, you know, a guy that they have had some meetings with. But the thing that would concern me, especially if they're looking at him for nickel, is his PFF run defense grade is 60.8, which is not great. Mm-hmm. And nickel run defense at the, from the nickel position is vitally important for this defense specifically. So to me, that seems like a red flag for me if I'm looking at who I'm trying to bring in between those two, if those are who we're choosing between.
Well, we can also, there's a defensive end they met with that I'm curious is available too. Is Jonah Ellis available from Utah?
Jonah Ellis is not available from Utah, so he's off
the board.
But a guy that they have met with that is still on the board is the defensive end from Colorado State, Mohamed Kamara, a guy that is not ideal in size. It's just 6'1". But just has been incredibly, incredibly productive for the for Colorado State. Pass rush grade of 91.2 in 2023 and a pass rush win rate of 19.4%, which is elite. And even a run defense grade of 72.2. Now, he's 6'1", 250 pounds, right? He is an outlier when it comes to measurables. But he's very explosive, and he is very productive. And you know, I can think of a time when a guy who didn't have the measurables that most people thought you needed to have in order to, you know, in order to succeed in the NFL, was an interior defensive lineman by the name of Aaron Donald, who came into the league
and he did okay, right?
I think he did fine. Yeah, I think he acquitted himself pretty nicely.
Yeah, I've heard of him. I think.
Yeah, I think he's pretty decent. So
I think here, Brian. I don't know. Yeah. I'm probably for what we're looking at. I'm feeling corner here, but you can talk me out of it.
Yeah, and I think again, you know, Cam Hart is a player that's rated higher than Mohamed Kamara, and higher than Christian Jones, the tackle we talked about out of Texas, higher than Chow Smith Wade, the cornerback out of Washington State. So I have no problem going Cam Hart here, the cornerback out of Notre Dame, for their first fourth round pick, the Trey Lance pick, the 49ers draft Cam Hart, cornerback out of Notre Dame, and they are back on the clock again at pick 132. And look who is still on the board, Mohamed Kamara. We just talked about him, but another guy.
You want Audric Estime, right? My other boy from Notre Dame. Because I'm a Notre Dame guy.
You are a Notre Dame guy. No,
I'd love Estime to be on this team. He's not going to be, but I'd love it.
There are two guys here that I think could both be 49ers. One is Ben Sinnott, the tight end out of Kansas State. In fact, the 49ers Web Zone posted an article today from I believe it was Matt Maiocco, but it was a highlight article about Ben Sinnott, who is from Iowa but went to Kansas State, but is a guy that models his game after a tight end that we're pretty familiar with by the name of George Kittle. Ben Sinnott was the tight end at Kansas State, 6'4", 245, from Waterloo, Iowa. He is a jack. The blurb on him from PFF: Sinnott is a true jack of all trades tight end who can line up in the backfield, on the line of scrimmage, and at receiver. His game lacks a true trump card, but he's the type of football player every NFL team wants in their tight end room as a versatile role player. Here's the one thing that, you know, you got to kind of look at and go, I don't know. It says, while he is a willing blocker, defensive ends can overpower him. He is tough at the catch point, but has shorter arms, mm-hmm. which hinders his catching ability. His catch rate could also be higher, but you know what? Whose catch rate could have also been higher? George Kittle, right? And that's the thing. Right. His pros are that he's a quick athlete. He has versatile movement skills. He's a fast split zone and lead blocker. Not the strongest, but a willing blocker. And that's the thing. Like, blocking is, obviously blocking is about the ability, but more than that, it's a mentality. And that's where George Kittle shines, right? It's a willingness. It's a desire. It's an absolute, like, I will impose my will. And this is what George Kittle says. I will impose my will on the guy in front of me. And I get joy out of that. And that's what it sounds like, Ben Sinnott is.
And, Matt had written an article about kind of the 49ers preparing for life after George Kittle. And I think they tried to do that to an extent with Brock Wright. I don't know that Brock Wright's a starting tight end, but he would have been a really good number two and somebody that could fill in. And I think mm-hmm. the 49ers are starting to think about life after Kittle, who's, again, in his early 30s, one, maybe 2 years left, you would think, with him. As much as everybody loves Kittle, we'd love for him to play for another 15 years. It's kind of is what it is. I love this pick here. I love taking a tight end. And I think it's somebody that, again, whether he's a tight end two, whether he's somebody you're developing for 2 years from now, I really like it. I like the fit. I like the long-term implications of it. So I'm good with taking it.
Yeah, he ran a 4.68 40 at the combine. So, again, not a slow player for the tight end position. Mm-hmm. Not as fast as some guys, but still not, again, a good athlete. 4.6 in the 40, 1.59, 10-yard split, got a 40-inch vertical, a 10.6 broad jump, 6.82-second three-cone drill, and 4.23-second 20-yard shuttle. So definitely an athletic guy and a guy, like we said, who models his game after George Kittle. To me, even more than Mohamed Kamara, because, again, you're talking about a guy who you're talking about two guys, right? One who has an ideal size for your position and another guy who's undersized and productive. Mm-hmm. And to me, I think tight end two is a very, very big need for this team. With the absence of Charlie Warner, even though all he did was block, they're not offering a contract to Brock Wright if they think that Cameron Latu or Braden Willis can step in day one this season and fill that position. That. So they don't think that. This guy, I think, fits the bill a little bit more. Latu is still a project, right? Tight end was a position he converted to. Ben Sinnott is a guy that's played tight end all four seasons at Kansas State. And so I'm on board with drafting the other guy here, right underneath him, Braylon Allen, the running back out of Wisconsin. I'm just intrigued by him just because he's just a massive human being for the position and fast. And you don't.
So
really
is Audrick Estime, man.
True, it is
my,
true.
My man's that bowling is ball. I love Estime. Love Estime. But again, he's not probably not going to be on the Niners. Yeah. All right, Brian, we're looking good, I think, so far. Let's see where we go here. They got another pick soon, right?
They do. They're 132 and 135. All right. So we're here at 135. Your guy Estime, he went to the New York Jets.
Will Shipley is there though, isn't he?
Will Shipley is here. Braylon Allen still here. Chow Smith Wade still here. We talked about him earlier. We took mm-hmm. corner already. I feel like that's a good conversation. Is what positions do you think this team would be willing to double up on in this draft? And wide receiver, yeah, definitely. Sure. Yeah. Another guy that's here on the board is a favorite of mine. And that's the running back from Louisville, Isaac Garendo, who, again, another massive human being, but also a kick returner. And we talked about last episode, kick returns are back. So again, an intriguing prospect there. Go ahead.
I feel you there because here's where I do. The Niners just signed what's his face from Green Bay. What's mm-hmm. his name? Well, I don't know.
I said earlier I had a solid 20 minutes on him. Patrick Taylor. That's what it was. Patrick Taylor.
All right. So you have Patrick Taylor on a 1 year contract. You have Elijah Mitchell on the last year of his contract. You have Jordan Mason. They may have ended some kind of weird option after this year. But again, as much as the fans love Jordan Mason, and I love to watch Jordan Mason run, if the Niners give a shit about Jordan Mason, he would play more than he does. He can't pass block. Clearly, he's the third string running back. I don't – Christian McCaffrey, like we said, getting up there, a lot of carries. I think he's going to be fine this year. But after this year, we got to start you know, planning ahead. Or even if not, this season, do you want to take the load off of him? So I like a running back, and I like a kick returner because the rules are different now. Mm-hmm. With the kickoffs the way they are now, you can change games. You can get creative. Guys can, you know, there's going to be a lot more return touchdowns this year. So
Isaac Grendo, a guy like that, is 6 foot 221 and he runs a 4.3 340.
I think that's insane. You get a guy like that with Kyle.
Yeah.
And I don't want, listen, you know, Ronnie Bell, God bless you, but I want to upgrade there. So yeah,
4.6, I really Ronnie like Bell. This.
I like a guy like that. I like Grendo. I think even if, you know, he gets whatever, 30 carries this year, if he's your kick returner, because it's a different game now with the new kick return rules. So Brian, I'm jumping on that.
Yes.
You want to go? I'm all about
yes. I jumped on the table for Isaac Grendo and I convinced Al. I love it. So with the 135th pick,
didn't take a lot of convincing, but
their third pick in the fourth round, they go Isaac Grendo, running back out of Louisville. And
running
now
back slash kick returner.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Running back slash kick returner slash athlete. I love it. And now we're into the money round. They only have one pick in the money round. It's the last pick of the fifth round. Pick number 176. We are on the clock. There's another guy that I think could be a 49er if they don't address tight end early. We already did. We took Ben Sinnott, the tight end out of Kansas State.
Jaheim Bell,
the tight end out of Florida State. But here's the thing. Here's the thing with Jaheim Bell. You know who he could end up being is the replacement for Juwan Jennings, right? Your big wide receiver that is just in there to kick ass and block and be huge and isn't going to be a, you know, he isn't going to be a five. He's not going to be a 500 yard receiver, but he's going to be a receiver that could catch, you know, like Juwan Jennings, third and Juwan, right? One area that we haven't addressed though, right, is offensive tackle, and another area that we haven't addressed is edge. And if we look at those two areas, at and tackle safety. And safety. Safety is another one that I think is a need because Julian Blackmon re-signed with the Colts on a 1-year deal. I don't know why the 49ers couldn't match that.
Yeah, Justin Simmons
is still out there.
That's a little weird to me.
Yeah, Justin Simmons is still out there.
If you go to safeties, is Vakai available?
Sione Vakai. He's not there.
Somebody took him. Okay.
Yeah. Right. So the guys that I have seen kind of tied to the 49ers and also feel like fit, Omar Brown, the safety out of Nebraska, is available. And also Keaton Oladapo, the safety out of Oregon State, is a guy that's been connected to the 49ers as well.
And those are later. I think we're going to wait.
Those are later round. Later round. At edge, you've got Jalen Harrell out of Michigan, and you've got Solomon Bird out of USC, Jalen Green out of James Madison. Really no names that are, you know, jumping off the board, if you will. Solomon Bird is... Well, what's going on?
There he is. All right.
6'3", 250, right? So kind of in that mold of a D Ford, right? Like a lighter guy, a speed guy. Had a run defense grade of 74.8, pass rush grade of 81.7. Had 7 sacks in 2023 at USC, 22 hurries. You know, could again be a project at edge. You know, I think his size and his athleticism project, to the NFL. But again, not a guy that's going to come in day one and supplant anybody, but you know,
nobody is expected to here either.
Sure.
I love this part of the draft because even if you're like, there's one or two guys that we'll see that we're like, we'd like that guy, but for the most part, we don't know what the hell's going on. like we're picking positions and you know what I mean? Like, when you get to this part of the draft, it gets tough. I think we need a DN and a tackle still to throw in there. So one of those
tackles available. Ladarius Henderson. Ladarius Henderson. Not a great season in 2023. In fact, a very bad season in 2023. 6'4", 315. Jalen Sundell from North Dakota State. Again, Trey Lance's alma mater. Very, very highly graded by PFF. But again, you're talking about FCS level competition.
Right, right.
6'5", 300. Yeah, 6'5", 300. So a little light in the pants, if you will. But again, you know, get that guy in the weight room. You know, you're betting on, you know, you're betting on his technique and the ability to put a little weight on. I would be between the two, I'd be willing to go Sundell over Henderson. If we look at edge, again, Solomon Bird would probably be the choice for me there.
Let's go Bird. Let's go Solomon okay. Bird. Cause I think we got to add an edge. Let's take Solomon Bird there for the edge.
With pick 176, the 49ers select Solomon Bird, defensive end out of USC. And now we've got three picks left, pick 211, pick 215, and pick 251. So two,
which is
sixth round picks and a seventh round pick. And honestly, I don't think the 49ers are going to take 10 players. I think they're going to move around on the board.
I agree. But let's
see what we get. Uh-oh. Who's on the board? Frank Gore Jr. on the board.
Oh, my God. We already took a running back or I'd be all over it.
We did.
Would be all over it.
Another guy that I like, but we took Jackson Powers Johnson in the first round, so it's not a need. But Tanner Bordellini,
the center out
of Wisconsin. I mean, could he? Possibly. And look at this. His 2021, he played 329 snaps, but he had an 87.0 grade from PFF. But his zone grade is awful. So, again, I don't know. Omar Brown, still on the board. Safety out of Nebraska, 6'1", 200 pounds, an 84.5 coverage grade and a 74.3 run defense grade, playing for the Cornhuskers, played 12 games at 665 defensive snaps, and here's where Omar Brown could be intriguing. He had 434 snaps in the slot. Yeah, so he was the Cornhuskers slot defender.
I think he's the type of guy that you could see the Niners bring it in for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Versatility, I think, is key for him.
Yeah.
434 snaps in the slot, 147 in the box, 60 as the deep safety. 10 coverage stops, gave up 35 receptions on 59 targets. Did not allow any touchdowns and had one interception. That's a pretty decent season. I think I like him there. Yeah.
At this point in the draft, I like that pick.
All right. Omar Brown, safety or slot defender out of Nebraska. And we're back on the clock at 2:15.
What do we got? Two picks left?
Yeah. So we got two picks left. So far, we've taken a wide receiver, a tight end, a running back. A center or an interior offensive lineman. We have one corner or two if you consider Brown. We've got an interior defensive lineman, and we have an edge defender. So we've hit a lot of the depth holes that the 49ers have. You said you wanted to come out with two wide receivers from this class. I don't know that anybody left
tackle. Like, dude, the Niners have needs, people. The Niners have look at this draft, and we haven't hit on a guard or a tackle. Only one wide receiver, a linebacker, maybe. The Niners have needs.
Yeah.
They have needs moving forward. So we have two picks left. What are our BPAs here? Is where I am at this point.
BPA here is Steel Chambers, linebacker out of Ohio State. 6'1", 232, kind of a smaller guy. Coverage grade of 77.4, though. Run defense grade of 55, which means that he's a coverage linebacker, which is kind of what the 49ers target.
At this point in the draft, with all the question marks they have, maybe a good special teams guy. Like, I would like to pick that at this point in the draft.
Yeah. So he is currently best player available. Again,
Frank
just based Gore on
Jr.
ranking.
Still there.
Frank Gore Jr. is still there. So is Jace McClellan, the running back out of Alabama. Andrew Coker, the tackle out of TCU. Dylan McMahon, center out of North Carolina State. Jordan Whittington, the wide receiver from Texas. Yeah, I think, again, a special teamers, special teamer, linebacker. I'm good there. Although it's hard. So it's hard not to draft Frank Gore Jr. We've got Brendan Rice.
I really want to take Frank Gore Jr.
We've got Brendan Rice. I don't think the 49ers would take two running backs.
Yeah.
Because they've got four on the roster already. So
yeah, taking homerism out of it, I think Steel Chambers, linebacker, special teams guy is a terrific pick this late in the draft.
And then the 49ers have one pick left. Pick 251. Not quite Mr. Irrelevant. Close, but not quite.
Brian, a show very soon. I was listening to Ryan Russillo today, and he was talking about quarterbacks, and I was thinking about how many quarterbacks and where they've been drafted.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about that. I might do it after the draft, but Purdy is pretty special when you think about Purdy, Prescott, Cousins, and then it's, you know, it's first and second round guys. Purdy's pretty special, so I did want to do that at some point, but well, that's, again, for another day.
Yes.
So we're at pick 251, and again, I'm just thinking BPA at this point. What's available?
Who's BPA the best is team? Tanner McLaughlin, tight end out of Arizona.
Tua's brother,
Talia Tagovailoa, out of Maryland. Really good 2021, not as good in 2022 or 2023. In 2023, he was 291 of 441 for 66% completion percentage, 3,386 yards, 25 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, a passer rating of 97.6. Actually, very similar, except in yards, to his 2021 season, which was his best season. But he's 5'11".
Yeah, dude.
He's 5'11", 208.
He's 5'11" on here, so he's probably 5'9 and a half in real life.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Come
on. Other quarterbacks available, your guy Sam Hartman from Notre Dame.
Yeah, if he can play a division negative two team, he's great.
Carter Bradley, quarterback from South Alabama, 6'3", 216. A guy that actually I think could be intriguing to Kyle Shanahan is Keaton Slovis, the quarterback out of BYU. 6'3", 215. You know, didn't throw a lot. Only played eight games in 2023. Had a 50, not a very accurate quarterback, so perhaps he wouldn't. But the 49ers already have three quarterbacks. I don't know that they're, I think they would probably go undrafted, with that. Wide receiver still available. Oh, I have quarterback selected still. Wide receiver, it's only two available. I mean,
we're just throwing darts at a board.
Interior offensive lineman, Andrew Rame, the center from Oklahoma, Kingsley Egwukon, the center from Florida. Did we take a tackle? We didn't. Tackle.
Brian, here's the thing.
It's how the board falls, you guys. It's how the board falls.
I have done two mock drafts, like one I did on my own and then this one. And I didn't take a tackle in either one. So if they're not taking a tackle in the first round, I feel like they have so many other needs. They really do. Not for this year, but 2025 and beyond. It's crazy. It's crazy to think of their tackle situation. A 36-year-old Trent Williams, arguably the best in the business, but at the end of the line, in McKivitz, and I've done two mock drafts and haven't taken one. It's crazy. I don't give a shit here. You pick whatever you want. Seriously.
Whatever
you want to do.
Let's go. Let's see. Let's go.
You want
I'm going to go another corner. Jarius Monroe, corner from Tulane, 6'2", 205. Had 660 snaps at corner, forced 14 incompletions, had eight coverage stops, had his own coverage grade of 82.4, a run defense grade of 83.3, allowed 32 receptions on 66 targets, only gave up one touchdown and had three interceptions.
Brian, what
if we take a flyer on a guy like that?
Let's do it. What if we did the show 2 years ago and I was like, I don't give a shit what we do here. Take fucking Brock Purdy.
Right?
You never know. You never know. So maybe, what was his name? Julius Monroe? Maybe he's
Julius or Jarius Monroe. Yeah.
Jarius Monroe.
So maybe, to recap,
maybe he's Deion Sanders.
Who knows? To recap, the 2024 No Huddle Podcast, 49ers, 7-round mock draft on April 4th.
First mock draft.
At 31, the 49ers selected center Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon. In round 2, Chris Jenkins, defensive tackle from Michigan. Round 3, Brendan Rice, just royalty, wide receiver out of USC. Their first of three fourth round picks, took Cam Hart, cornerback out of Notre Dame, Ben Sinnott, tight end out of Kansas State, and running back and kick returner Isaac Garendo out of Louisville. In round 5, they took edge Solomon Bird out of USC. At round 6, their first of two round picks in round 6, they took Omar Brown, listed as safety, but played the majority of his snaps in the slot for Nebraska last season. At pick 215 in round 6, Steel Chambers, linebacker at Ohio State. And they rounded out their selections with Jarius Monroe, cornerback out of Tulane, in round 7 at pick 251. PFF has graded this draft as a B- with our best selection being an A- grade for the selection of Cam Hart, the cornerback out of Notre Dame
in
round 4. I like it.
All right, guys. Yeah, I like it. I like it. And we're going to do at least one or two more of these, I think, as the time goes on. We got some stuff planned. I'm working with ESPN. We've never had anyone from ESPN on the show. Working with ESPN to get someone, hopefully next week or the week after. Maybe Baldy or Schlereth again. We'll see what happens. We're going to look at some other content creators. A lot of fun stuff as the draft comes up as well. I do want to say, too, our buddy Will Selva, who's been on the show a couple times.
Yeah.
He was let go by NFL Network today, along with a couple people. Will is one of the best guys in the world, 49ers fan. Just want to wish him the best. He's going to land on his feet, but you know, that sucks. It's a brutal business.
It is
absolutely brutal. This business. It is. And, you know, we're lucky to be able to do what we do, but man, for all the people you guys watch, it's fleeting for a lot of them. So just appreciate the people that bring you really good content. Just appreciate that. 'Cause it's a fleeting business. It really is. So,
yeah.
But yeah, anyway,
we'll be back next week. Thanks
for listening. We will draft, baby. 3 more weeks. Let's go.
I love it.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for viewing. We'll see you soon.
Later.
9-0-3. 1-2-3.
Niners! 2400 Sports is an Odyssey company.